This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Since the late winter, restaurants have been pushing carryout, increasing outdoor dining options, and dealing with reduced allowable indoor capacity, all due to this COVID-19 pandemic. But the health crisis is worsening across the country and right here in Cincinnati, and it's getting colder, which could also impact customers' willingness to eat outside. Let's talk about the situation locally. We're joined today by Jeff Ruby, Culinary Entertainment CEO, Brittany Ruby Miller. Brittany, welcome back to our show.
Thank you so much.
We also have with us The Rind and Oakley Wines owner, Stephanie Webster. Stephanie, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
And Homemakers Bar owner, Catherine Manabat. Catherine, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
Our pleasure to have all of you. And if you're listening and you've got some questions or comments about eating indoors, what your experience has been, what your concerns might be, and how you might plan to support restaurants in the coming weeks and months, give us a call, 513-419-7100, or email us at talk@wvxu.org. Brittany, let's start with you. We are seeing new restrictions placed down on business in states across the country, including here locally, because COVID has not only not gone away, it's gotten worse in recent months, and it's really bad right now. Tell us what the situation is with your family of restaurants.
Well, you learn how to run a company flying by the seat of your pants. We certainly appreciate that we are in the middle of a pandemic, and as of recently, our healthcare systems are overwhelmed. I personally have gotten pretty involved in educating myself just on the medical side of things from peers in the industry to more or less look at the statistics, because I know there's a ton of forecasting that goes into how hospitals operate. And so I agree. I think we need to slow this thing down. And hopefully, you know, with the vaccine announcements, there's light at the end of the tunnel. But it's been challenging. I think the reason why I'm most challenged by it is because I'm part of Governor DeWine's restaurant advisory group, which means there's a significant amount of health officials on those Zooms that I do frequently. And all of them, including here in Cincinnati, have boldly stated that restaurants are not part of this problem, that restaurants are safe. They all also agree that by restricting restaurants, it drives folks to unregulated environments, which we know is causing the spread. So, you know, I spend a lot of my time advocating for restaurant safety and advocating for our employees. It's been challenging. You know, I walk downstairs, my office is above the steakhouse in Cincinnati. And yesterday after the announcement, to hear our staff, you know, fist bumping and cheering, it's bittersweet, because the alternative of them not doing the curfew was that it was shut down. And we didn't know if they were going to have a job the following day. It's heartbreaking. So just, you know, trying to take it day by day. We're grateful that we can stay open in Ohio, and hopefully I get some news in Kentucky here today too. That's good.
We are expecting Governor Andy Beshear on the Kentucky side of things to announce new restrictions during his 4 o'clock briefing to the public and the media a little bit later on. That's the reference there. Brittany, just let me follow up on that, because you do serve on a state task force related to restaurants to advise Governor DeWine on his decisions. You said what we've all heard from health officials, that private gatherings appear to be the biggest driver of this current surge, but I don't know that we've seen a lot in the way of hard data to support that. And I'm wondering what you've seen that might support that.
Yeah, there certainly has been contact tracing. Anybody that I personally know, I mean, to take the stats out of it, has either gotten it I know three people who got it over the past 2 weeks. One got it at a wedding, one got it at a funeral, and one got it at a private family dinner at somebody's house. So, you know, I'm not a statistician by any means. I just can tell you that there is not community spread happening in restaurants. We have 500 employees, and anybody who's gotten COVID acknowledges that it's not happening in restaurants that I've spoken to.
That's Brittany Ruby Miller from Jeff Ruby Culinary Entertainment, where she is the CEO. We'll come back to that in just a few moments, but we want to talk with our other guests who are with us today as well, the Rind and Oakley Wines owner, Stephanie Webster. Stephanie, talk to us about your situation. How are your businesses coping with this right now?
Sure. Yeah. So I echo Brittany's sentiment in that everything is going to feel a lot easier after we're through this. It's been really difficult at the Rind. We, you know, both businesses really hover between retail, restaurant and bar. And so at the Rind, we are not doing any indoor seating right now because it's just so tiny. And we're only allowing one family in at a time because it's so tiny. At Oakley, of course, our capacity is reduced, you know, way more than 50%. Probably we're at about 30%. Outdoor has been a blessing. It's been a wonderful summer, luckily, and we were able to add some tables outside. Of course, we're getting worried as winter is coming, is here, and we have three heaters, but, you know, that's only going to go so far. So we're definitely very nervous about the approaching winter.
So with those heaters, you know, I think we've all sat near one of those outdoor heaters at some point. They do a decent job of keeping you warm, but they don't protect you from the other elements, right? Like if it rains or if it snows. So I imagine that's a concern.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, in addition, they're expensive to run. And at some point you kind of have to like do the math. If you have a table and there's a heater running right next to them and they're just kind of, you know, they've had a couple glasses of wine, like at some point, you know, the math doesn't really add up to. So we're definitely tracking our expenses with the propane as well.
Do you think there will come a time where the expense just outweighs the revenue and you'll have to close?
I'm not sure. We're going to keep tracking it. We're really working on normalizing ski gear for outdoor dining. I think, you know, bring your blankets, bring your gloves is going to be our motto. And so hoping that people can, you know, follow along.
Catherine Minabit is the owner of Homemakers Bar. Catherine, how's the bar doing?
We're hanging in there. We are definitely looking to create, you know, experiences for our guests. And our goal is to meet people where they are and their comfort level. And also, you know, I applaud every single small business and restaurant in the city because I know so many of them personally. And I know we're all going above and beyond to keep not only the guests safe, but, you know, our team, because they are our family. They're the reason that we're able to open our doors. So their safety is, you know, paramount. For us right now, we're really looking, you know, look, one of the upsides to this whole thing is it really does push how innovative and creative and resilient you have to be as an entrepreneur and a small business. And so we are really pushing a lot of our virtual experiences. So we're doing cocktail classes online where people can pick up cocktail kits and we can still create those community building experiences that you would have at the bar. Carry out is certainly a great thing for us to be able to do, especially with the cocktail side. We have a pop-up bottle shop that we do where we sell a lot of like really cool low proof stuff, bar tools, etc. And then we're working on releasing a guide to entertaining for the holidays, which includes cocktail recipes and some food recipes, so that people can still do something that's engaging with us. And then our outdoor space has definitely been a blessing. We're so lucky that Urban Sites and our Art Academy has loaned us this parking lot behind Homemakers. So we're getting ready to activate that space for the winter. We're turning it into a winter wonderland ski lodge, echoing Stephanie's sentiment about, you know, when people go out, they are sort of managing their own expectations of bundling up, because if they're more comfortable being outside and they want to have a pleasant experience. So we really wanted to create that space where instead of being like wearing three layers and feeling like I'm just sitting outside because of a pandemic, we wanted to create that experience for them where they were sitting outside because they're in a really fun, cozy ski lodge. So that's sort of where we are. And, you know, right now, I think we're all feeling lucky that we have so many people in the community rooting for us, because at the end of the day, as resilient and creative as we can be, you know, we can't make it without the support of the community.
Do you have concerns?
Like, we have to.
Catherine, that, I mean, we had 7,000 cases reported on Tuesday in Ohio alone. You know, this is continuing to escalate. Do you have concerns about, even though there's some light at the end of the tunnel, apparently, with these vaccines that are set to come online, very promising information about a couple of them now, you've got to be concerned about this worsening and forcing further restrictions.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely concerns, but I think if this year has taught us anything is that you just have to take it day by day. There's so many things that we worry about and stress out about. So until we have information, we deal with it as it comes, and we try to just do our best with information we have and, you know, to plan ahead for different pivots. Like everybody, I think that's the word of 2020 is pivot. Like we're all pivoting and trying to figure out how we, you know, continue to thrive as a community. But, you know, at the end of the day, the safety of our community, our staff, and our guests is going to take precedent over anything.
513-419-7100 is the number to call to join our conversation. Let's go back to Brittany Ruby Miller, CEO of Jeff Ruby Culinary Entertainment, who also serves on a task force advising Governor Mike DeWine's administration on restaurant policy during the COVID-19 pandemic. Brittany, we're hearing from health officials more and more that you should basically treat current life as if you've got the virus, as if people around you have the virus, because it's so widespread in the community. How do you balance the message that it's still safe to eat at your restaurant when we're also hearing from health officials that, my goodness, it's so widespread that we need to be so cautious right now as to assume that everyone around us could be a carrier?
You gave me that's a tough question. look, I think that I would tell you the difference between restaurants and family gatherings or dinner at your house. You know, people need to eat. People also need to live their lives. Mental illness is a real, real issue. I've read studies recently just about how much worse, and there's so much we don't even know because of the long-term effects here. I think restaurants, because it's a safe environment, people need an escape. And whether you're going out right now, the mandate is it's 10 people within the same household. Now, I don't know how you manage that unless you bring a passport with you to dinner, your license. But I think people need an escape. And I know that restaurants are safe. They're safer than being in your house. I mean, I don't know. It kind of reminds me of like the airline commercial where they're saying now 99%, you know, of the air is cleaner than what's in your house. We're cleaning and sanitizing like crazy. We're doing the wellness checks. All of the things that we do to mitigate the risk. I'm in our restaurants almost every day. Our managers are in there every day. I do not buy into the narrative that indoor is not safe. I absolutely do not, because I know the experience of our own people in our own restaurants.
Well, what about the reduced capacity with indoor dining? Do you support that?
I think so. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Right. You're doing all of those things. You've got 6 feet between tables, or you have a barrier. You're sanitizing things every hour. You're using single use menus or touch, you know, digital with your QR code. I mean, there's so many things that we're doing that we know work, which is why I believe that the numbers are getting better than when they were in March. I'm not talking about the cases going up. I'm just talking about the success rates, right? And I think that there's enough that we can do to mitigate getting this thing. And the data does show that it's happening outside of restaurants, that it's happening when people let their guard down. We have our guard up, and we have since March. We take it very seriously. This is our business. As Catherine said, this is our work family. And so, you know, I live my life. I wholeheartedly believe that we need an escape in life. I think that that's just as important as staying healthy and not getting the virus. But I guess that's just my two cents on it, is that I choose to not let live in fear of this thing. And if the risk that I take is going to a restaurant or going to a grocery store, I got to live my life.
513-419-7100 is the number to call to join our conversation if you'd like. We're going to continue this conversation just ahead and later. Residents in some parts of Cincinnati have a longer life expectancy than others. We look at some of the reasons in a preview of the next installment of The Case for Cities at the Mercantile Library. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition On Demand. Did you know you can have the show delivered straight to your smartphone every day? Just go to your favorite podcast listening app, search Cincinnati Edition, and subscribe. You'll be able to keep up with all our great conversations with newsmakers, public officials, and other interesting people from the greater Cincinnati region and beyond on the go, anytime, anywhere. It's great for those days you can't tune in to catch us live. Weekdays at noon on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We continue to look at the health of the local restaurant industry and your health as COVID continues to impact all of it. We're joined by Jeff Ruby, Culinary Entertainment CEO Brittany Ruby Miller, who also serves on a state board task force advising Governor Mike DeWine on restaurants. Brittany, thank you for staying with us.
Thank you.
And we also have The Rind and Oakley Wines owner Stephanie Webster. Stephanie, thanks to you as well.
Thank you.
Homemakers Bar owner Catherine Minabit is also with us. Catherine, thank you.
Thank you.
Catherine, let me talk to you about the bars, because the curfew is probably a little harder, being that it starts at 10 p.m. on bars than on restaurants, where people have probably already had dinner by that hour. Do you share that concern?
I definitely think that it's going to affect us, but we've seen just with trends, people are going out a little earlier. So I think, again, that's just going to be an adjustment for us to really make a push for carry out and, earlier sort of happy hour experiences. But it is a concern, especially just being so close to Kentucky. I know the governor is going to make an announcement today, but currently they're serving till 11 and they stay open till midnight. So that does have an impact on this side of the river.
And let me ask you as well, Stephanie, I mean, is there any concern about, I don't know, is there an unfairness here towards some businesses? And is it sort of feeling arbitrary that certain hours are picked when things can happen and some things cannot?
You know, I've thought a lot about that. And I do believe that, you know, the curfew is a better alternative than shutting down the industry. It's making people aware, that we are in a pandemic and that we need to take this seriously. Like Catherine said, it won't affect us too much. Obviously, we weren't allowed to sell alcohol past 10 anyways. We might move our last call up a little bit to make sure everyone can be out of there by 10. But I do feel that this industry as a whole, the bar and restaurant industry, has been, picked on a little bit. I think, there are intrinsic risks in going to the grocery store and other, activities that we do throughout the day. Like Brittany said, we have worked so hard to make sure that we are understanding the guidelines, the rules, the science, and making sure that we have provided a safe place for our staff and for our guests. And, that is definitely our number one priority. And, we've really worked hard to go above and beyond some of the recommendations. So I do think that we have provided a very safe place for people.
We've got a little bit of time to take some calls. Let's go there now. We have Kelly on the line. Hi, Kelly. What's your question or comment?
My question was, do you think that the concern is less focused on the individual sanitation practices of each establishment versus the public exercising their right to live their daily lives by meeting with other people and dining in close proximity, possibly affecting themselves by having close contact dinner with their friends or family that do not live in their immediate household?
Okay, so Kelly, let me just see if I can summarize the question. You're wondering if there's less concern about sanitation practices versus whether people are getting together with groups that they shouldn't be.
Exactly.
All right, Kelly, thanks so much for the call. We'll hang up and let our panel address that. Brittany, maybe I'll ask you, are you finding that concern from folks is less about how you're taking care of the establishment? People may trust what Jeff Ruby Culinary Entertainment is doing, but the individuals who might be patronizing it.
I think it's absolutely a fair question, almost a statement that, you know, is there risk if I'm going to dinner? Yes, I think it's probably, I think that's Governor DeWine's point too, is that you don't wear a mask when you sit down at a table, right? And so I think though, in order, just my personal belief on this, I forget your name, but that look, my opinion is we've got to keep the economy going and make sure that we can service our healthcares can service our communities. And there are people who are high risk that I think we need to protect. There are elderly people who we need to protect. And there are folks who maybe already had the virus that can still keep things going. Or there are folks that do want to get out together because they're in their bubble. It might be, you know, a family. It could be close friends that they are willing to take a slight risk and go to dinner. But I think that decimating an industry, which is if you shut restaurants completely down, it'll decimate an industry if it happens again. I saw it was reported 53% were going to shut down before the second wave. And yesterday I saw something that it was nearly 70% would if we were shut down again. And I know the importance of the restaurant industry, but back to the safety. No, I think you're sitting far enough away from somebody having dinner that it's not as contagious as you might think if you're sitting with people who you're already exposed to anyways. And mostly I'm saying like your same household, your same people, but you've got to have an option still. And restaurants won't survive on carry out only. That we do not have an infrastructure to be able to do that. So, you know, I think people take their own risk. People have their own, should have their own choice to do that. And if we do it in a controlled environment, a mandated environment, a clean environment, I think that that's the option and the right for somebody who chooses to dine out or to support businesses right now.
I think I've got time for one more call. Let's go to Justin now. Hi, Justin. What's your question or comment?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm the GM of E19 and Over the Rhine. I know some of you on the panel. Thank you for your feedback. My question is regarding the 10 p.m. sales curfew, and I'd like to take the temperature with the panel on how do you feel with this ongoing sales curfew that one, if it's making any progress in the local region regarding the pandemic, because it's certainly hurting our business not having those additional few hours to serve.
That's and you're a new business, right, Justin? E19?
Correct. We've been open for 2 months.
Okay, cool. Well, we'll hang up and let the panel address it. Thanks so much for the call. And we do only have about 40 seconds left, so I'll ask Catherine to take this. I guess his question is about, you know, the overall impact or lasting impact of this 10 p.m. curfew. It just seemed difficult to run a bar at that time.
Yes, I definitely think we're going to have to make some adjustments as an industry, again, pushing earlier specials or carry out so that people have that experience at home later in the evening. But, you know, we're only going to get through this as a community together. So everybody has to do their part, including the guests, of keeping themselves safe and understanding that we're doing our part as an industry.
I want to thank Brittany Ruby Miller, Stephanie Webster, and Catherine Manabit for being with us today and sharing your concerns and your hopes for what's to come. We hope to check in with you all again soon. Thanks for your time.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer of today's show is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.